This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Jordan's Furniture, Big Y World Class Market, Brennan Smoke Shop, Rodenizer Plumbing, Heating, AC and Electric, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Advanced Auto Parts, U.S. Marker Board, Boston Volkswagen, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmower, Foxwoods Resort Casino, Jackson Lumber, and Mass General Cancer Center. On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
The vibe is different. I'll tell you that right now. You know, there's no more searching, and you feel it. You come to a ballpark every day now, and it feels like last year. And we're finding ways to beat teams, you know. But you got to a point there. We were searching for, you know, mechanics and swings and, you know, whatever. You know, and now it's different. Now it's just a matter of put everything together.
Scores, and in the bottom of the 17th inning, the Minnesota Twins win it 4-3.
I tried to warn you all last night when Alex Cora made his comments before the game. I tried to warn you all last night that the Red Sox were tempting the baseball fates with Alex Cora saying what he said prior to the Red Sox 4-3 loss in 17 innings last night at Target Field in Minnesota. 617-779-0985 is your number here on the Baseball Reporters. We'll open up the phones right away. If you didn't stay up for this game last night, and again, who could blame you? Who could blame you? 5 hours and 45 minutes. 5 hours, 45 minutes. And two good teams. Nonetheless, 5 hours and 45 minutes. Who's going to stay up for that? Really, who's going to stay up? But that aside, Alex Cora made that comment before the game. It feels like last year. Jimmy, if we could play the shorter version of that. Again, if you with this comment last night, and if you listened to the show last night, you know that this comment bugged the crap out of me. It really did. The Red Sox win 6 in a row. They win the opener of a series against the Minnesota Twins, who had the best record in baseball going into Monday night. They win the opener of that series. Prior to game two, all of a sudden they have all the answers. All of a sudden the manager's talking about, like, yep, we got this fixed. We got our groove back. Christian Vasquez says in Baltimore, walking by a cluster of reporters, we're back. We're back because they beat the Orioles. That's it. So again, prior to last night's game, Cora says this.
The vibe is different. I tell you that right now. You know, there's no more searching. And you feel it. You come to a ballpark every day now, and it feels like last year.
Okay, really. I mean, again, I look at that and I say, you're tempting the fates there. You're getting too cocky, and this team can't be too cocky. And they keep talking about last year. It's like last year, right? It feels like last year. Nothing is ever going to feel like last year again. Nothing. There is no last year. Last year's over. You're never going to have that again. I wrote this today on our website, 985thesportshub.com, because I've really given this some thought. You know what the message should have been to the Red Sox from the beginning? We are not trying to reclaim last year or the magic from last year. We're not trying to reclaim that. And I blame Alex Cora for this because I think a team's mentality comes from its manager or its coach. In this case, the manager. I blame Alex Cora for this part of it. It feels like last year. No. Nothing will ever feel like last year again. Last year, the Red Sox won 108 games. Last year, they went 11-3 in the postseason and didn't lose one more than one to anybody. Combined, they went 119-57. They could have brought back the same exact players at the same point in time of their careers and not won 108 games. They could do that 10 times over and never win 108 again because everything fell in place. And instead, they keep clinging to this. It feels like last year. This team cannot get out of its own way. And last night, boy, the bullpen failed them. 2 blown saves, giving them 14 now. 14 tied for most in the American League. They went 1-for-13 with runners in scoring position. 1-for-13, continuing an alarming trend where the Red Sox can't get a big hit at a big time against a good team. David Price left the game after 5 innings, appears to be injured again. I mean, that's another issue. Now you have an injury to Price. I mean, I don't know. You tell me as you're driving home tonight. I felt like last night was a hurtful loss. Ooh, that one killed. That one stung. And now tonight, they have the chance to erase it. Eduardo Rodriguez is on the mound against Kyle Gibson. And call me crazy, it feels like a big series to me. It feels like a big game. Because I would like to see the Red Sox be good competition in a series, something they haven't done all year long. Okay, I'd like to see them do that. I think tonight is a night where they can sort of erase last night's loss. But man, just when you think they're starting to get a little bit better, they do something stupid. They start saying they got it all figured out. The problems are all solved. And then that's it. You know, that's it. They're good. And then they go out and lose in 17 innings. Last night, Murray knows, I heard this comment right before we left. I said, this just ruined my ride home.
That's saying into orbit.
It did. It absolutely ruined my ride home because I said, oh, what a dumb thing to say and believe. You win six in a row. Yep, we got it back, guys. We won 2-0 and played a clean game in the opener. I told you they would get their asses kicked. I was wrong about that. But the outcome last night, in a lot of ways, was worse. It was actually worse. You win 17 innings and lost. You killed your bullpen in the process. And David Price looks like he's hurt again. I think the outcome was worse. You tell me. 617-779-0985. I'm going to get to your calls right now and also tell you that as soon as we get details from the press conference taking place in the Dominican Republic concerning the latest on the investigation into the shooting of David Ortiz, we will give them to you here right away. Allegedly, they're going to disclose a motive today down in the Dominican. And they're in Santo Domingo, right? The courthouse is in Santo Domingo. So we'll have hopefully have an update for you there. But again, I don't know how you feel good about the Red Sox again after last night. It just feels like they cannot get out of their own way. 617-779-0985. Give me a call because I want to hear from you. Matt's on the South Shore. Matt, what do you got?
How's it going, Tony? I mean, you said last night two blown saves. The bullpen still needs help. But I'm wondering if you think this team is even worth trading for bullpen help. I mean, I don't know if you saw MLB put out their new top 100 prospects list yesterday. The only guy from the Sox was Tristan Casas, way down at 97. Seems to me like the farm system's so depleted, it's not even worth weakening it even more for this team if they're not going to be able to compete anyways.
So, Matt, look, you raise a good point, and I had not seen that new list yesterday. I'm guessing that was the MLB pipeline, the top 100. I think he said MLB.com, not Baseball America. Either way, both of those lists are pretty good, and I think they're fair assessments of what the minor leagues have for all teams. And Tristan Casas, the third baseman, was drafted last year. So it's hard to even call him a prospect yet, although apparently he has been ripping it up of late, which is a good sign. But you don't necessarily have to give up your best player to get help at the deadline, your best minor leaguer. I mean, the Red Sox were able to make good functional moves last year without doing that. Steve Pierce was a good pickup. Eovaldi was a good pickup. So you can still do that. You can still get a good player without giving up a great prospect. But I think your original question of is this team worth it is a legit question. Because, again, you're halfway through the season now. They kind of are what they are. I don't know how you can really change your opinion when every time they go into a series against a good team, they do something to lose it. James is in Boston. James, what do you got?
Hey, Matt. So I kind of disagree with you. I think last night showed a lot of heart. I mean, they stuck in there. I mean, it was two blown saves, but like you're saying, we got 14 blown saves on the year. You take, what, half of those, and we're tied with the Yankees first place in the East.
So, again, but this – okay, so but James, so then you agree then that the bullpen's a problem?
It is.
Okay.
I mean, but we're still waiting to the trade deadline. You never know what's going to happen. I mean, like you said, there's all those bad teams that are going to be trying to get out there and make some moves for next looking ahead, so they might be getting ready to release a saver or someone.
Yeah. Listen, I'm not criticizing you for taking a positive outlook on last night. I don't think you're wrong to look at it that way. I think you could look at it and say, wait a minute. Twins have the best record in baseball. That's what they have. They have the best record in baseball. The Red Sox went in there and beat them 2-0 in the first game. They were up 2-1 in the eighth inning of the second game, and they ended up going 17 innings before they lost. So they're right there. They are right there. And you'd be right. You'd be right. You can say that. I'm not going to criticize you for having that point of view because I don't think you're wrong. But I look at the big picture and say, Well, you dug yourself an early hole, so now going toe-to-toe is not good enough. Now you have to win series. You have to win them against bad teams, you got to sweep the bad teams, and you got to win the series against the good teams. They can still do that tonight. I'll feel better about it tomorrow if they go out there tonight and they beat the Twins. I will. I'll feel better about it. So, and there's no question they can still go out and get some bullpen help. All of that is true. The reason I asked you about the bullpen is because Dave Dombrowski is trying to sell the notion that the bullpen is not as big a problem as some people have suggested, people like myself. That's what Dombrowski has said. So I just think Dombrowski's delusional. I think they're trying to sell you a bill of goods. It's not the only problem with the team. There are others. But I also look at it and say exactly what you just said, the last caller. 14 blown saves. 14, and not all of them have led to losses. But 14 blown saves. If even 8 or 9 of those have led to losses, and you could have cut that number in half, the 8 or 9, you'd be knocking on the door for the division. You'd be right there. Instead of being 8 out on the loss column or 7 out in the loss column, you'd be 4 or 5. And nobody would feel as badly about it as we do right now. So I'll tell you what, we'll take a look at that bullpen, and we'll remind you what exactly Dave Dombrowski said about it not so long ago.
The show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Matt Barnes.
You again?
Colton Brewer.
Who?
Ryan Brazier.
Brazier.
And those other guys.
It's back for 2019 in all-new Wheel of Gutless Bums.
Red Sox manager Alex Cora is faced with a tough decision. Who to use in a high-leverage situation late in the game? Now, let's spin the wheel.
Barnes. Brazier. Brewer.
Thornburg.
Johnson.
Thornburg.
Brazier.
Barnes.
Embry.
Work.
Brazier.
Thornburg.
Velasquez.
Embry.
Johnson.
And today's Gutless Bum is...
Workman ready. Line drive, base hit. Mookie Betts cuts it off in front of the track. Here comes the run. Garber is in. Down to third is Crone. And the Twins have tied it 2-2. High, deep drive, right field. He jumped on that one. That is way, way back. And gone. He hit it a ton. This game is tied again. Max Kepler makes it 3-3.
Fastball right down the middle.
Fair down the line, and that's the ball game. Here comes the run. Arias scores. And at the bottom of the 17th inning, the Minnesota Twins win it 4-3. The final in 5 hours and 45 minutes.
Now 14. But before we get to that, we do have some developments out of the Dominican Republic. This is just broken in the last few minutes. And for those of you who have been following the shooting of David Ortiz, according to the prosecutor in the case down there, this was a case, quote unquote, of mistaken identity. That David Ortiz was not the target of the shooting. This is now what Dominican authorities are telling people in the Dominican Republic in Santo Domingo, where they're conducting a press conference right now, saying that David Ortiz was not the target of the shooting and that it was a case of mistaken identity. Now, before we get to your calls and whether or not you believe that, because I don't, let me tell you that 5 days ago, and I just Googled it and looked it up, Eric Montilla, if you remember, let me back up just a shade. Okay, there were a number of arrests in this story, including the alleged gunman, whose name is Rolfi Ferreira Cruz from the Dominican, who was then put in a jail cell. From that cell, Cruz claimed he was looking for a target wearing similarly colored clothes when he fired once into Ortiz's back last Sunday night. "It's not David. I was confused," the alleged gunman declared in a clip that was released last Friday. Okay? You remember all this, right? Everyone remembers this?
Sure, yeah.
Okay. At that time, Eric Montilla, spokesman for the Dominican prosecutor handling the case, said that Cruz's bogus claim was made in the interest of self-preservation. The suspect feared that he could be lynched in prison after shooting one of the country's most popular and admired athletes, Montilla told CNN. Okay, so 5 days ago, a spokesman for the prosecutor in the Dominican that is handling this case told everybody that what Cruz yelled out of that jail cell was bogus. That's what he said. Today, that same prosecutor in a press conference just a short time ago said that it was a case of mistaken identity and that Ortiz was not the target. Murray, do you believe that?
Sure don't. It's a crock. It's a cover-up.
How could anybody possibly believe this? 5 days ago, you have someone speaking on behalf of the prosecutor telling us that the guy's claims from the jail cell were bogus. Now, all of a sudden, they're trying to feed us mistaken identity? Now, I don't know how many people here are following this case or not, or how closely you care about the investigation. But if you think we're going to get the truth out of the people in the Dominican Republic, the lawmakers and law enforcement in the Dominican Republic on the David Ortiz case, I would love for you to explain to me why. Because I don't trust anybody in the Dominican when it comes to this story. The whole story is an indictment on the Dominican Republic. It looks bad. Okay, you have one of the most celebrated personalities in that country shot in the back in the middle of a bar amidst stories and reports of tourists being poisoned in resorts in Punta Cana, which is a resort area in the Dominican, a beach area in the Dominican Republic. There is record-setting poverty in the Dominican in multiple areas, extremely poor country, with celebrities like Ortiz making millions upon millions of dollars, let alone the people who are making it unlawfully down there. The level of corruption there is through the roof. It would behoove everyone, including David Ortiz, to cover up the real motive of this case, whatever it is. Okay? It would benefit everyone down there. Who would hurt David Ortiz? I mean, who would go to the Dominican if one of the most popular people down there were shot in the back as part of a vendetta or a business dealing gone wrong or who knows what? And you know all the stuff that's been out there from the Daily Mail to a number of other websites on Ortiz. So the Dominican has its own interests at stake here. And I said this from the beginning. I believe nothing that comes out of there from the media. From the Dominican media, I believe nothing that comes out of there from Dominican law enforcement. All I believe in this story is what is reported by international media and or the American government. And I'll tell you what, I even have my doubts about some of the people here because of Ortiz's status in the city of Boston. So again, use your own judgments. I'm not telling you what to think. But if you honestly believe this was a case of mistaken identity, that 6'3", 245-pound David Ortiz, who might be the most recognizable person on the entire island, was a case of mistaken identity, I want you to convince me why.
Oh, it's such a crock. Someone has to get to the bottom of this.
Because I can't imagine how anyone could possibly believe that. We'll get back to the Red Sox bullpen here in a second, but I see a number of you want to talk about the Ortiz case, and I don't blame you. Tom's in Hull. Tom, what do you got?
Hey, sorry. I want to believe what that guy just said, because the bottom line is that David Ortiz wasn't killed, okay? And that's, thank God. He brought a lot of heroics to Boston sports fans over many, many years. And we need to let this thing go. He lived, let it go. You know, and that, we're going to keep talking about this. Hey, whatever it is, let it go.
Tom, we may not have a choice. We may not have a choice, and I let you go because we get another other.
What? Because it's an inconvenient truth. It's uncomfortable.
Well, so that's his reason. I'm just telling you. I'm not sure we're ever going to get the truth. I'm not sure we're ever going to.
Hey, get right it. On that, and that's unfortunate because this is not what happened. David Ortiz was the target, and then this guy doubling down saying that David Ortiz had quote no enemies. Like you said, this is a stain on the Dominican Republic. Their best export are their baseball players, specifically David Ortiz and Pedro Martinez, with Ortiz probably being the biggest and most accomplished, right? So they don't want to have that stain by proxy on the country via David Ortiz and whatever salacious thing he was allegedly involved with, whether it was with this drug dealer and him allegedly sleeping with the drug dealer's girl or wife or whatever it was. Like, something else was going on here. You don't mistake identity for David Ortiz wearing a garish Versace shirt worth $2,000 and a guy that size. Everybody knows who he was. He was shot in the back. He was the target. You're an idiot to think otherwise.
Yeah, look, I'm not telling people like Tom what to think or what not to think. some of you, I mean, many of you, most of us in general, we want our heroes. And we want them to be perfect. We don't want them to be human because human beings are flawed.
And then how about
human
this?
Beings are a pain in the ass. They have flaws and they're a pain in the ass, which, by the way, is why you shouldn't name streets after them. Go ahead, Murray.
David Ortiz, would you say, is maybe the most powerful person in that country?
So he's one of them.
Or influential?
Okay, and he's one of them. And again, you made reference, Murray, to comments made by his attorney?
Yeah.
Ortiz's attorney in the Globe, where he said that Ortiz doesn't have any enemies. And what I would tell you is this. Okay, again, if you want to live in fantasy land and you want to go down the rabbit hole, the Mad Hatter and all the other people, that's fine. You can live in fantasy land, Wonderland. Okay, you live wherever you want. I'm going to tell you that in the Dominican Republic, David Ortiz has made millions upon millions of dollars playing baseball in the United States. David Ortiz has had a good life. The people in the Dominican haven't, many of them. Do you really believe he doesn't have any enemies? And I'm not saying that Ortiz even did anything wrong. I'm just telling you, the mere fact that he has the wealth he has in an environment and in a country as poor as the Dominican means that he's going to have pissed people off somewhere along the line because he gave money to someone and not to someone else. He has no enemies? What powerful person in the world, whether it be in the Dominican or anywhere else, has no enemies?
Well, the other thing, too, so say he was, again, allegedly sleeping with a drug dealer's wife or whatever, stepping out on his wife, Tiffany. If David Ortiz is as powerful as we know in the Dominican Republic, or at least influential, you don't think that he knows politicians? How about now that this has happened, that he makes that phone call and says, like, listen, like, you got to do me a solid here so I don't have to have this uncomfortable conversation with my wife. Say that it was somebody else. The target was somebody else. Like, I would believe that more than what the hell we're getting out of the district attorney and the Dominican from
I'm just telling
press
you,
conference.
Yeah, today. I don't have any faith at all that we're getting the truth. Quickly, Rob in a car. Rob, what do you got?
Hello, gentlemen. First of all, like, have you been or have you spent time in the Dominican Republic? You sound like you're...
Yes. Yes, I have.
Well, I've spent a lot of time there, over 30 years. And I have to tell you, I think you're so far off. You're saying it's an incredibly poor country relative to the Caribbean and Central America. It's not one of the more extremely poor countries. It's also a country where, you know, you're talking about... Nine tourists have died, and people are claiming it's under odd circumstances. But, you know, in the Dominican Republic, you don't have to worry about going to school and your kids are going to get shot up or going to church.
Rob, wait a minute. Don't turn this into a political discussion, though. I'm not telling you that life here in the United States, the grand old U.S. of A., is perfect either. But are you telling me really that you don't think poverty's a problem in the Dominican? You think I'm making this up? And if this is coming off as some sort of, you know, absolute dump job on the Dominican, I don't mean it that way. Okay, I don't mean it that way because I think the people there are wonderful people. Pedro, one of the most genuinely good-hearted people I've met. Same for Ortiz. So, again, I don't think the Dominican is any different than any place on earth, if you want to know the truth. I think they have good people and bad people there. What they also have is a huge disparity of wealth, and they have a poverty problem. And in a place like that, you know what you're going to have? Corruption. So, again, you can take that personally if you want. I'm not ripping the Dominican any more than I would any other place. You're telling me that there's some small town in the USA where there's some similar thing going on, and it's a poor town where there's a few people with bucks? I'll tell you the same thing. I'm just telling you, it's got nothing to do with the Dominican per se, so don't turn it into that. Okay, don't. Really. I'm just telling you that David Ortiz is one of the faces of that country. If David Ortiz can get shot in the back in a bar, then anybody can. And that's a scary proposition for people down there, not to mention people outside of the country. And I'm just telling you that I don't believe the authorities down there. I don't. Because I think the relationships down there are way too close, it's way too small, and way too poor. I don't believe it. I just don't. Murray's get your headlines.
This is the Baseball Reporters.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Mazzarotti, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Get right back to your calls.
I just want to add something more about the game last night. David Price left that game after the fifth inning. 73 pitches. David Price left the game last night. Feels like an injury for David Price. Jimmy, if we find any of that Price sound, let me know. It's not urgent. In the interim, the bigger story in the Dominican Republic right now, authorities down there have said that the David Ortiz shooting was a case of mistaken identity. Murray doesn't believe that. I don't believe that. I think you have a hard time finding a lot of people up here who believe it. David Ortiz is one of the most recognizable people in the Dominican Republic. There is an obvious disparity of wealth in the Dominican. And when I say that, I mean there are rich people and there are lots of poor people. And to me, that is a recipe for corruption and cover-up. That's what that is. So I don't, you know, I know this comes off as ugly American looking at a foreign country and not believing in their process. To me, it's less about that than it is about the economic conditions in the Dominican and the types of things that it leads to. What I would tell you is sort of compare it to America during Prohibition, when there was all types of shady things going on. Okay, that, again, developmentally, they're just not there yet. I just read something on the web. Half the people in the Dominican don't have water or sanitary toilets. Half the people in the Dominican. It's just hard to believe that this is really what went on down there. David Ortiz, maybe the most recognizable man in the entire country and the entire island. I don't believe that this was mistaken identity. I don't. Brandon's in Newton. Go ahead, Brandon.
Tony, this is what I don't get. If you're going to, obviously the mistaken identity thing is ridiculous, so we don't have to get into it. But the other thing that I find strange about this, if you just look at it, like take the emotions out of it, but just look at it forensically. If you wanted to kill somebody and you have an automatic pistol like the guy had, isn't this kind of a haphazard way of trying to do it? Like fire one shot into the guy's body mass and just run?
So, Brandon, look, you raise a good point. I mean, again, I'm no expert when it comes to assassinations. I know Murray has a theory on what happened there in terms of the maybe the gun locking up. Murray, do you?
Yeah, I on that second video that TMZ had that they posted maybe like, I don't know, 4 or 5 days ago, it was more of a clearer look of the shooting. You can tell the shooter looks like he gets off two shots, and it looks like there's no recoil, and he's still trying to squeeze the trigger. It looks like it jams. If anyone's ever shot a gun before, you can, you know, sometimes that can happen, especially with a handgun. It jammed, and then he took off. So I think he tried to get off another shot at least.
So again, now look, there may be other details that are coming out during the press conference down there that have come out concerning whether or not the gun jammed. I'm in the middle of the show. So it's hard to do two things at once. I'd love to tell you I can multitask, but I can't. I'm inept at it, frankly. My wife's good at it. I suck at it. So there may be other details that came out of there that I have not gotten to yet. Carlos is in Worcester. Carlos, what do you got?
Yes. You know what? I've been dealing with Dominicans, and my brother-in-law is Dominican. So for them to say that, you know what, that was bogus, it's not bogus, and it's definitely true. They targeted him. Because I used to deal with, I don't know if you know the relief pitcher, Carlos Perez. He used to play for the Montreal Expos.
Sure, yeah. Left-hander, right?
My brother-in-law's sister used to go out with him.
Okay, right? Carlos, let's not get into anything defamatory. Just, I'm going to let you go there, because I don't want to get into all types of rumor and innuendo about other players and other things. I don't want to go down that road. All I'm telling you with regard to what the Dominican authorities are saying about the shooting is that it was a case of mistaken identity. 5 days ago, a spokesman for the prosecutor's office told us that such a suggestion was bogus. That's basically what he told us, that it was bogus. Now they're telling us mistaken identity. I just don't believe it. I'm sorry. I hit that line by mistake. That was Sharon on the bullpen. Sharon, just sit tight. Let's go to Terry is in a car on the Ortiz situation. Go ahead, Terry.
Hey, I have 2 points for you. First is when you were talking about the one shot that they got off, if they had gone a little bit to the left, he would have been paralyzed for the rest of his life. So, you know, from their perspective of where they were shooting at, they might have just had bad aim.
Terry, no question. Yeah, he got very lucky. I mean, he had damage to his liver, damage to his intestines, had his gallbladder removed. And who knows, you know, again, how that will all heal up over time or what other procedures are going to be required. But keep going.
But my other thought is I don't think we're ever going to know really, truly what happened down there. But just in terms of other professional players that have made money and are afraid to go back to their countries, or family members that have been, you know, kidnapped and held for ransom, or other players that have gone back and been killed. I think a lot of it has to do, as you were saying, with the sense of wealth in some areas, or David Ortiz, at least his wealth, and then the very poor areas there as well.
Yeah, so, Terry, look, again, it's a complicated place. It's a complicated place. And so I'm not, again, if this came off earlier and we had a caller who asked me if I'd ever been to the Dominican, I said yes. Yeah, I went there for 4 days with Ortiz to work with his first book on him, work with him on his first book. And so what I would ask the caller is, did you go to just the rural areas or were you in the city? Because the rural areas are poor. Many of them are really, really poor. And so what I would tell you, all I'm telling you about the Dominican is I thought the people there were wonderful. The people I was around were great. I can't say enough good things. But I will tell you also that the you've got ball players there making tens of millions of dollars, and you have people who don't have two nickels to rub together. Pedro, you know, there's that story that Pedro told about sitting under the mango tree without enough money to pay for the bus. There's some truth to that. Okay, there is truth to that. And when you have that type of wealth disparity, inevitably what you have is a few people in power and you have rampant corruption. I'm just telling you the reality of the economics. Xavier's in Boston. Go ahead, Xavier.
Thank you for taking my call. I think it's a financial thing as well, because with the poisonings, it's already crippling the economy. You add Ortiz getting shot, and there goes that. Nobody's going there anymore. And there's a big population of Boston people that spend a lot of time in Dion. He is the biggest thing in the city, so it's economics. He's going to take this for Dion.
So, Xavier, we were talking about this earlier, that really when you look at it, who gains if the true motive of this comes out? And again, let me make this clear. David Ortiz is a victim. He's the victim. But there is a story there. Okay, there's a story there. And silly me, it's just the way, again, I worked in newspapers for years. What do you want me to tell you? I like to know the truth. The truth is not going to, I'm not going to, generally speaking, think any less of someone for the truth. Because people are, they're inherently flawed. That's what we are. We're flawed. Every one of us to the core. I haven't found a single one of us yet who's perfect. Let me know if you do. I'd love to meet him or her. And it's probably a she. Al's in Westminster. Go ahead, Al.
Hey, Tony. So I'm not saying that you guys are wrong with what you're saying. This is all bull. But my question is, are they saying it's a case of mistaken identity, or are they saying it's a case of that he was trying to shoot the other guy that was with David Ortiz? Because there is two different things there.
No, they're saying that the target was someone else. That's what they're saying. The target was someone else. So a mistaken identity. And again, I've read, you know, again, there were alert updates that came through a bunch of American media outlets, the Washington Post, MSN.com. They all described it as a mistaken identity. So Ortiz was shot because they thought he was someone else. Not that he got in the way of anything like that. And again, if you've seen the video, you already know that. Guy walked in and shot him square in the back. And there was nothing mistaken about it. Sal's in Florida. Go ahead, Sal.
Hey, Matt, what's going on? I just want to let you guys know I moved down here, but I still listen to you guys. And I want to let you know that you're completely right, and we don't think – I'm Dominican, but I was born in Boston. I don't think you're taking a dump on the whole country. You're just stating the facts. We got love for you, baby. And I just want to let you know that I got some family members down there, and – the story that came out initially.
Sal, I'm going to stop you. I'm going to stop you there because, again, I don't want to get into the business of rumor and innuendo and all that other stuff. There's a lot of that on the web. Again, Murray reported that, or noted that the Daily Mail reported that some of this stemmed from the perception on the part of a drug trafficker down there that Ortiz was having a relationship with a woman. There is the story of the mistaken identity. What was the other one? There was another one, too, as a possible motive that I somehow missed in there. And I'm forgetting now. But there were theories about what it is. The authorities 5 days ago, a spokesman for the prosecutor's office 5 days ago, said that the notion of mistaken identity was preposterous. And again, that's my word, not his. But a spokesman for the prosecutor's office 5 days ago dismissed that. Now today they're saying yes, that it's mistaken identity? What happened in those 5 days? So there's a lot at stake for the Dominican Republic here. Prior caller noted, tourism's a big industry down there. David Ortiz is one of the most popular and recognizable people on the island, if not the most. So there's a ton at stake there. I don't think we're going to get the truth out of there. If we're going to get the truth, it's going to come from someone on the outside. That's what I think. We'll wrap it up and give you the matchup of the day. Continue with the calls when we come back.
We have the Sox covered. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5. This is the Baseball Reporters.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Maserati, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Big matchup of the game presented by Big Y World Class Market, serving the Massachusetts community for over 80 years. Yep, there's a game tonight. We just sort of got railroaded by all this Ortiz stuff. And I'm not complaining. I mean, that's big news out of the Dominican. Mistaken identity. You got to be kidding me with that. Anyway, Eduardo Rodriguez on the mound tonight. I think this is a big night for Eduardo Rodriguez. David Price went 5 innings. They had to go 17, get 12 out of the bullpen. They lost. They're trying to beat a good team in the series. Boy, it'd be a good night for Eduardo Rodriguez to step up. And his numbers against the Twins, not good. This Twins roster, 313 off of Erod with an OPS of 952. Holy crap. Marwin Gonzalez, 3-for-3, double, 3 RBIs, and an OPS over 2,000. Oh, my God. Those numbers are staggering. On the other side, Kyle Gibson. The Red Sox numbers are decent, 773 OPS, 263 average. Mookie Betts, 6-for-16, 3 homers. 6 hits, 3 homers. And Mookie had a big one last night. He put him up 3-2, and then they lost 4-3, right? Yeah, that's right. Mookie, again, with that game, who could keep track of all the details? Mookie put him up 3-2, and then they lost 4-3 later on. Mookie put him in the 13th inning. Derek's in East Brookfield. Go ahead, Derek.
Hey, how you doing? I just wanted to say, it seems a little crazy. From David Ortiz, from what he says himself, he's basically like a made man getting shot and someone coming up and saying, oops, afterwards. 9 people were arrested. How can they say mistaken identity? I mean, there's just too much involved in this for this to be a mistaken identity.
So, Derek, look. Derek, I agree with you. Now, this all happened shortly after we came on the air. And the Baseball Reporters here, it was about 6:15, I think, between 6:15 and 6:20, when some of the details started coming out of there about what the prosecutors were saying. So I'm going to read up on it tonight. I would like to know more about it. And if someone else was the target, I would like to know the motive of that. Like, I have a hard time believing this story, given what I perceive to be the level of corruption down there, the disparity in wealth, all the elements are there for a cover-up. I mean, they are. And so, and again, let me say this in no uncertain terms. None of that changes the fact that David Ortiz is the victim. He's the victim. But I don't know that we're going to get the real story. I'll squeeze in one more quickly. Bill in a truck. Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, Dennis, thanks for letting me talk about this. When it comes to the Dominican Republic, and I've been down there twice, I've gone in and I've seen firsthand. And up here we have garages, and you know, or at least a shed in the backyard to store stuff in. Well, down there, the shed is what they live in, you know, and it doesn't have an angled shingled roof. Okay, it's a sheet of metal being held down only by the cinder blocks that are on top of it. Talk about poverty.
Yeah, Bill, listen.
It's amazing.
Bill, people here don't have a clue. They don't have a clue. And not that they could. I mean, again, you can hear about it, but until you see it, you couldn't possibly understand. Adam Jones is coming up here, top of the hour. What do you got, Pac-Man?
Yes. Well, I made it all the way until inning 15 last night.
Good job.
I felt pretty proud of myself.
About the eighth.
I mean, you know, around like inning 13, I popped on an old episode of Seinfeld, and then I popped back in. I watched Jackie Bradley Jr. at bat, watched him, I think, roll over to second base, and then I was like, okay, I think I'm good for the night. So good to see that the attitude changed around the Red Sox, and they're right back to the loss column. The vibe. My mistake. The vibe.
It's the vibe. Get it right. It's the vibe.
We are going to begin with, the next white whale, Tony. You know, Danny Ainge has swung and missed on another of his many white whales, Paul George, Jimmy Butler,
Chris Paul,
Kawhi Leonard, of course, Anthony Davis is who I'm talking about. Ooh, Chris Paul, that'd be a good one. Who is the next white whale for who are we going to be sold on for the next couple of years just to have Danny Ainge strike out in another year and a half or 2 years? We're going to start with that.
You going to offer up some nominees?
Yes. Oh, I've read some good ones. There is one whopper, Tony, that I audibly LOL'd at my computer when I read it this morning.
Zion?
No, it's not Zion.
Better.
Oh, better than Zion. Mm. Oh, I'm going to have to listen on the way home because I usually don't listen to you on the way home. Murray's got your headlines. We'll see you tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.